And on our program today, we are visiting with Michaela Kienitz, CEO of the Boone County Hospital, who came to visit.
Yes, I did.
It's good to have you here.
Thanks for the
invite,
Jim.
This is our first time having you on. Normally, you've been busy and you're in your office and we're trying to break in on different things that are going on there, meetings and everything else. But thanks for coming up here.
Absolutely.
I had told Chris that he could come up too sometime if he wanted to. So Chris Torrey is the finance officer. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, weekend, you had the 125th celebration, 125th anniversary of the hospital. A lot of history, and hopefully people found some interesting things there. But what a warm day.
Warm day. It was really warm. I think the event turned out really, really nice. Thankfully, it didn't rain, so I was really crossing my fingers that we would have one day of a break in the rain, and we did. So even though it was warm, you know, I think we served close to 400 people lunch, yeah. And so we had a really good turnout, and we were excited about everybody coming to celebrate the hospital and getting to see all the history stuff, and it was really exciting.
Well, the cattlemen were glad you had them in the street in the shade, kind of. That they appreciate.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they did the grilling for you.
They did do the grilling. And they did a great job. So we were really grateful to have them there with us.
And we had some music, musical entertainment there. It wasn't an overly long afternoon, but you could come and go as you please. And again, a lot of people going inside to take a look at the historic things. When you look back at that and you think back, well, I don't think back that far, but I mean, I'm looking back at the 60s, the first ambulances that they got, the Cadillac station wagons.
Yeah, they were station wagons. I think it's interesting to think about 125 years and how many years and how long of a time that really is. And so when we look at how much medicine has modernized and how much everything has changed, the historical display that we had really helped kind of bring all that to light.
I think the walking boot one there, that was a wire mesh that I'm thinking, no. No.
Yeah, that, and there was like a, I think like a leather kind of boot that you laced up. It was just very interesting to see all those artifacts. The Historical Society here in Boone actually donated, let us borrow their display stuff, which I don't think they usually do, but it was such a big occasion that it was really nice for them to do that.
Well, we got done with that part, and that was one of the many community events that you had done and been doing and got in there. But the big thing is the board had their meeting last week, and we kind of are getting ready to wrap up our fiscal year. We don't know the final numbers yet, but through May, pretty good position.
It's been really, really good. We're in the last day of the fiscal year today, actually, so I'm kind of excited to see how the year ends up once we get all the numbers in. But I think at the board meeting, Chris talked about the fact that, you know, the bottom line is just a little bit over $7 million right now, and based on a budget of around $3.5 million. So we're doing really, really good, having a great year. I think some of that is due to the Medicaid-directed payments, but some of that is also due to our operational growth. We've just seen growth across the board. We've seen record number of CAT scans, MRIs, imaging patients. Our therapy department's growing like crazy and doing really well. So I think across the board, we're seeing a lot of growth.
And I think what the expectation is, we'll end up at about 138 babies this year or something like
that? Yes, I think we're on track for 138 babies, depending on what happens today.
And that's about a couple of dozen more than we had last year. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I came, we delivered about 86 babies that first year. And so we've seen a huge growth. And I think next year we're planning on another 10% increase. Mm-hmm. And I think Dina feels like that's pretty doable and a realistic number. So really excited to see what happens as that OB program continues to grow.
And that was one of those things when you first started, I remember you said, we have to keep that service.
Yeah, I think it's really important when we're talking about being able to provide care for the whole lifespan, when we're talking about not losing those patients while they're pediatrics. Mm-hmm. And so otherwise, you know, if they go somewhere else, we lose them until they are 18 years old and stay in Boone and say, hey, I guess I want to come back where it's more convenient. And so it's really valuable for us. And our providers want to provide care to patients through the lifespan. They want to take care of kiddos. So it's a really, really valuable service. So we're really happy that we have it. And a lot of hospitals have closed their units. I think 40 have closed since 2000. And I think there's maybe a couple more that are maybe have one doc left and are kind of on the cusp of that. And so it's really important to us to keep growing that and have that here in Boone.
I know one of the things you did, you had a working arrangement with Van Deest in Webster City, and that is continuing. Are you still working on trying to see if Dallas County, or at least down in Perry, was interested?
Yeah, Tacy's been leading that project. So just before I came, they made that partnership with Van Deest, mm-hmm. and that's been going really well. You know, I don't know the exact volume of patients that we see from them, but there's a mm-hmm. number of patients that come down from there. And so Dallas County reached out and said, hey, we want to hire a new doctor, and she wants to do OB. And so we ended up going to partner with them exactly the same as mm-hmm. Van Deest, where, you know, they'll see the patient for around the first 30 weeks, and then the patient will transfer to us for delivery. And then as soon as the baby's born, we set up all the follow-up care back with their family mm-hmm. practice. So our intention is to get the deliveries and help them keep care local, because they also don't want to lose their patients yeah. to wherever they deliver them at. So that's, you know, we understand that that's how the partnership works, and we're happy to do that. It's important for us to get the deliveries to remain competent in our OB FBC.
And yes, they have been too. So during the meeting, we finally got our community health needs assessment. The presentation was it Kylie Lattimore did. Nice presentation.
Yeah.
And again, we had gotten some of the numbers early. We kind of knew what we were looking at, but the big thing is this is the final report, basically, and it kind of lays out some of the directions that we're going to be going in areas where we're going to continue to work to try to improve.
Yeah, you know, we take that community health needs assessment pretty seriously, and then we use that in the next few years here to drive what we decide to do as far as service lines and things like that. And so I was not surprised, and I think you and I talked about this in the mm-hmm. past, that mental health was going to rise to the top of that. It's a need everywhere, I think, and there's a huge gap in services for that across the country. So that's definitely something we're working on. We're planning to add a mental health provider next year. So we'll have a, here this fiscal year, we'll have a provider in one of our clinics every day. So they'll work 4 days a week, and they'll rotate between the clinics so that we're starting to close that gap. And then one of the other things that was interesting was cancer care kind of rose mm-hmm. to the top. And so we do have Dr. Greco, who comes over from McFarland and does a specialty clinic for us. But I do think there's more that we could do with oncology and chemotherapy and all those kinds of things to keep it more local, so people don't have to travel when they're really not feeling well.
The numbers for that, and same with diabetes, I noticed when I kind of looked at that, they said, you know, we know there are issues, especially the cancer one.
Mm-hmm.
Our numbers of diagnoses seem to be kind of level with a lot of others, but our mortality was a little higher.
Yeah.
Again, late diagnosis, things like that. And so that puts more pressure, I'm guessing, on education and awareness.
Yeah, and yeah, awareness and getting people to just even go to their family doctor so those things can be diagnosed sooner and we can get treatment set up. So I think, you know, we have the resources. It's just making sure that people are aware of them.
So that's the big thing is, yeah, we do have those people that are coming in to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the same on diabetes again, same kind of thing. We've already taken steps to make improvements there with a diabetes educator and some of your health coaches.
Yeah, I think that having Jessica on our staff has been really nice, and we're seeing that program really start to pick up as she's, you know, getting the marketing out there and whatnot. I think she's done a podcast with Rachel recently, mm-hmm. and so, and she's a great gal. She's got a lot of energy, and she's excited about it. And so I think we're really starting to see that grow. And I think, you know, there is a gap there that we have that position open for
quite
close to 2 years, maybe.
It was a while, yes.
Yeah, and so I think that's a really needed service. And, you know, there's a lot of people that do have diabetes or pre-diabetes. And so we want to start to get that tackled early on.
That's your health prevention. I mean, you know, that's preventive. All yeah. the preventive things that the hospital can do.
Yep, all the preventative care that we can provide. And like I said, getting to your family practice doctor and making sure that they're, you know, addressing the things that are going on with your health so that you can stay healthy for a long time is really important.
Are we seeing our physicians are in our clinics are all getting very busy? They're picking up even more patients. I mean, those are some of the data I know that you guys get and take a look at. What do we have? We know when Dr. Malhouse left, he had a sizable area, and that was moving a lot of patients to a lot of different doctors. But they still, at the same time, seem to be picking up.
Yeah, I think, you know, our clinics have been busy, and you're going to see that as we've seen that growth in the hospital. That growth in the hospital is downstream growth from the clinics. And so, you know, we've seen them get really busy. When Dr. Malhouse left, it put a bit of a pinch on the North Clinic. And so that mm-hmm. their practices there have grown. I think Dr. Linkenmeyer has the biggest practice at the North Clinic. And then South, you know, we've added Dr. Holmes there and Dr. Gordon there. And so their practices are really starting to pick up. And then Dr. Hernandez in Ogden, her practice is starting to boom, especially with Dawn taking off and Janelle replacing her. You know, there's just so many moving parts to getting all of the all just the pieces
it,
covered.
Keep it all the people, it all the people there.
But we're trying really hard to work on access, because the busier we are, the harder it is to get in, and we don't want that to be the case, and we don't want it being hard to get in be a reason that someone doesn't get seen, doesn't try to come see their physician and get these preventative things that we were just talking about taken care of. So we're trying really hard to work on access, and that will be something that we work hard on this year too.
And then if that happens, then we end up seeing even more traffic at the walk-in clinic.
Right, exactly. Or the emergency room, or places that, you know, they're there for that reason, but we really want people to have those visits where they can have that long sit down chat with their doctor about the things that are going on with their health, not kind of a in and out kind of situation. We want them to get that preventative care that they need.
So you've been in the business a little while. Is that one of the big challenges, getting patients to actually take the time and tell their physician and try to understand, you know, what's wrong and or what my symptoms might be and how to do better?
I think it's a challenge. I think also, you know, like I said, getting people in and making sure that we have those slots that have that amount of time with the provider that they want to have that with. You know, a provider-patient relationship requires a lot of trust between the two, so that, you know, you're alluding to, you know, getting patients to really open up and say what's going on so that the provider can help them fully. I think it's education again and making sure. And some people want, you know, to see a provider that can sit down and chat with them for 20, 30 minutes. Some people want to be in and out. So it just kind of is an individual preference for our patients. And we have a lot of different providers. So hopefully those needs are being met by whichever provider they're seeing.
Do you still have, because we've been fortunate that several of the physicians that we have on staff actually made contact and said, you know, I was looking for a position and I wanted to see what Boone County had available, because you guys have a great opportunity here.
You know, it's really interesting. And I think that's something, you know, prior to me coming, and something historical about our organization is that great things just kind of happen and wonderful people kind of show up. You know, like when you talk about when Dr. Stevenson came and got Dr. Hay, just, you know, hey, I know somebody, and you kind of have that happen with Dr. Gordon, that happened when he then got Dr. Hernandez here. It just kind of happens organically. And so that's been really nice, because a lot of the people that are here really, really want to be here and they're excited about what we have to offer. So we value them a lot, and we like that about our organization, that, you know, things just seem to work out. So that's great.
There are some you actively really will pursue. Dr. Holmes was one.
Yes, we
really
recruited her.
To get her.
Yeah, she has a lot of skills that we really needed, and so recruiting her was really valuable. She does C-section, as we've talked about many times, and so that was a skill that we needed to help support our OB, because if you don't have folks that can do those C-sections, you really can't have a good, thriving OB department. And so getting her and giving that support to the other doctors that were also doing C-section, Dr. Hay and Dr. Stevenson, it was nice to have that third addition for that service, because it's a 24/7 need.
On the part of mental health services and doing that, so what are we looking at there? I mean, what discussions have, obviously your administrative team is talking about, how are we going to do this? And then you talk to the board about it as well. This is something we would like to do.
Yeah, I think just having that accessibility for patients, where we can help patients manage their medication and make sure that if they're having a crisis, they have somewhere to go and someone to call, so that that helps to keep them out of the hospital and it helps to keep them out of the emergency room, where we know that there's extremely limited resources across the state. And if they come to our emergency room and they need a bed somewhere, it's really difficult to find that. And so the better thing to do is exactly what we were talking about earlier, preventative care, and to help them get their symptoms under control and help them keep on their medicine and those kind of things is really what we're planning to do, just so that they have kind of that home base for their care. And then hopefully that helps minimize their need for further care. And if I feel like if all of us in healthcare start kind of doing that, we might be able to tackle this problem somewhat.
Is some of this part of, we work with our other agencies that are around here that work in that particular area. A lot of the, you know, I'm thinking of like YSS, and then also on Community and Family Resources. They have areas where they provide some services there.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we work with those partners that we have out there. You know, we also partner with Mary Greeley from a hospital perspective, and they have inpatient mental health beds. And so that's a nice partnership for us to be able to contact them, or if we have questions about something, they're always a great resource for us. So I think it's using all the resources that we have to help those patients, you know, have their symptoms and issues be under control and help them just feel good and be able to go on, live their life.
Let's talk a little bit about a few other things that are happening. First of all, Dr. Dorman's leaving. He's not leaving. He's not going to be working here as much, or I'm guessing he's just going with a different agency, but it's more family related for him, I guess.
Yeah, he decided to take a full-time position at another critical access hospital. Actually, Marengo, where I came from, is where he's going. And so, and he grew up in that area. And so I think that that will be a good move for him. I understand that, you know, he's doing that related to family needs. I think he's been kind of working in multiple locations, and that's been challenging for him. And so I think he's excited to just have one location where he's practicing. But, you know, for us, that's sad. We really like Dr. Dorman, and he's got a great bedside manner.
He had a lot of patients that he'd worked with.
A lot of patients.
Had met with in the short time that he had been here. But Capital still has great services.
Yeah, Capital still has really good services. They are looking to recruit another orthopedic surgeon. They have, I think, interviewed a couple. And so I think they feel like they're getting close to having someone hired. And Boone will be a big part of that person's role. So we're looking forward to that. I think that right now in the kind of interim time, we have Dr. Peterson still, we have Logan Driscoll, who is a PA, and then we have Kirby Singleton, who's a PA, and so those folks are filling in until we get that filled. Dr. Dorman will be here through the end of July, and so, you know, we wish him well, and I hope things go great for him. For us, though, I think that things will also be okay, and I think we'll have plenty of coverage. It's just figuring out what that long-term person, who that's going to be and what that looks like for us.
And I think Dr. Peterson's been doing a lot of surgeries here anyway, so.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of surgeries. He's a very generalized orthopedic surgeon, so he does a little bit of everything. And, you know, both Dr. Peterson and Dr. Dorman are great individuals, and our teams love working with them. So that's been really nice. That's been very positive for our OR staff, having folks down there who are, you know, team players, want to educate them, that kind of a thing. And so I think that it's been a really good transition. They've been with us for about a year now, so excited to see where that goes in the future.
Last time when we visited, we were awaiting our version of Y2K. But I kept saying the big thing is that your staff was prepared. They expected some hiccups occasionally, but any new software, that usually happens, and it's usually somebody pushes a wrong button or something like that. But they were able to get a lot of things taken care of, a few bumps, but otherwise it seemed to go pretty well.
You know, the main thing with this was that it was an upgrade of the system that we already had. So it wasn't like switching systems. However, I will tell you, I think it's the smoothest upgrade that I've been part of. And so I think that has to do with the team being really prepared, like you said, and putting in a lot of time and energy doing that testing that we talked about, and just making sure to kind of think about everything that could go wrong and practice for those things. And so there was a few bumps, a little bit of a hang up with, you know, really going live with the new system at the beginning of the day. But other than that, I think it's gone very smooth. There's still a couple of issues that they're trying to work through. But for the most part, our team did a bang up job on this. And they worked so good, so hard trying to, you know, make sure that they practiced and were ready. And it paid off.
I got to say, physicians happy. We're happy.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Because I know they've run into issues in the past, but they've been kind of already ingrained in the new system anyhow. So
yeah, you know, the hospital went to the web-based system, and the clinics had already kind of been on that. So it doesn't look a lot different from the clinics. And so for the doctors that work in the clinics and the hospital, it's valuable. It's better. It's easier for them to use, and it looks similar. The folks that it's been more challenging for are the folks that just work in the hospital, the ED physicians, the ED staff, the inpatient staff, OB. But they've all done a great job, and I'm not really even hearing much about it at this point, and it's been a few weeks now. So it's the biggest thing we did in the last month. So it's really exciting.
All right. Got to ask you about the big, beautiful bill, because I know that's you mentioned a big part of it is some of the Medicaid reimbursements that are available to the hospital. This obviously a concern for rural hospitals, and we're considered that a critical access. There's all you can do is kind of watch what's happening and say, you know, hopefully we're able to make it through this.
Yeah, you know, I think that whenever they talk about Medicaid cuts and Medicare changes, I think, you know, that is concerning for us. That's a large part of our payer base, and so we want to make sure that, you know, we're able to be strong and stable. And so those things are part of that. And so, you know, we've been watching it and we don't really exactly know what's going to happen. I think Medicaid directed payments, you know, we've been receiving those payments for around 2 years now. They're really valuable when we talk about, you know, building projects or facility updates, maintenance, things like that, reinvesting in OB, adding mental health, all the services that they really, you know, would like us to focus on. And so I think it's really important for us to keep an eye on that. Again, like I said, we don't exactly know what's going to happen. I don't know that I believe the Medicaid directed payment program is going to go away. But I do think that there will probably be some changes to that program and we'll receive less funds, is my guess. The Iowa Hospital Association, they try really hard to stay on top of it and give us updates as they come, but we just don't know. I think the thing to remember is that whenever we cut Medicaid dollars that come directly to the hospital, we don't use those dollars only for Medicaid patients. So it hurts everybody if we have to cut things that we were using those funds for. So, but at the same time, you know, even in the state of Iowa, they added those work requirements for Medicaid and those things. And that probably will change some utilization of Medicaid and change what we're what our income is based on that payer source. But we want to also make sure that we're utilizing the that we're being responsible and utilizing those dollars appropriately. And then we only have the people on Medicaid that should be on Medicaid. So It's an interesting spot to be in as you try to.
It's not easy to explain in a short little snippet.
Right, exactly. But we want to be fiscally responsible and we're trying really hard and just watching the bill and seeing what the changes are going to be.
So stay on top of it. There you go, Chris. Pressure's,
pressure's
well,
on.
And part of it is, like you said, the association keeps you updated and we're not the only rural hospital in Iowa, so we know there's a lot that are paying close attention.
You know, and those dollars are going to every hospital in Iowa, so all of the hospitals will, you know, see a change in that if there is a big change in it. So hopefully we stay, hopefully it stays pretty similar to what it is today.
All right, so we had our 125th anniversary, which is one of your community things going on. You're into the Food for Kids program third year and just really make it to the end of the first month, really.
Yeah. Lisa, I asked her in the board meeting and she came to me after and said, oh, we're giving out about 150 bags a week of food. And so that's really good. We've gotten, we started, I think, June 9th maybe was the beginning. And so we're here right at the end of June. And so the program's been really good. She's gotten a lot of financial donations, a lot of food donations. And so, you know, it's just really interesting the need that's out there. And I think as we see some of these changes to programs, you're going to see more need for that program in particular. So we're really grateful to be able to, you know, provide that to the community. Boone, Ogden, Madrid, they all are getting the bags of food for the kids. So that's really good. And then we did our Trestle Hustle last week. Yep. And so that was really good. Record number of participants in that event. It was also a really hot Saturday.
Yes, it was.
So, you know, that was interesting to see and make sure that everybody stayed hydrated and all those things. But I think people really enjoyed that event and it was a beautiful day.
So we got a lot of other things. Keep working on them too. So we get ready for the new new year, new fiscal year. Did take a look at the budget. The board did. And again, I kind of glanced at it quickly. It's pretty conservative.
Yeah, it's pretty conservative. It is very similar to this year. I think we tried to be careful. We put in some more growth in there. Like, I really do anticipate that growth occurring. And so, you know, I think we're excited about the budget and to see what can happen in this next year. This year, you know, we saw a lot of growth beyond what we had planned for. And so I'm thinking if that trend sort of continues, we may do better than we had planned.
Stability of physicians helps a lot.
Too. Absolutely.
And we filled out like our ED. I think they're filled out now, aren't they?
Yeah. So, yes, they are.
Emergency department.
Dr. Chrome is leaving, and so she's going to go down to PRN. So I think we're trying to replace her at this moment in time. But so we did have it filled for a period of time, and now it's reopened again. But yeah, having those providers and not having to do all that recruitment is really good. It's really good for patient care, too, just to have that stability there.
And your specialty clinics, very busy. We have pulmonologists.
Yeah, we have we have lots of different specialists that
urologists,
are coming in.
Urologists, pulmonologists.
So. And we have oncology, dermatology. We have all kinds of things.
So they're there at the hospital in the specialty clinics.
Yep.
I appreciate you taking the time to come in and visit with us. Michaela Kienitz is the CEO of the Boone County Hospital. This has been your Health Talk program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim.